when a politician refuses to answer such a straightforward question is that they're worried that their honest answer is going to embarrass them.
What did you say?
Silence will fall.
But at times, it can leave you scratching your head and wondering why a man who wants to be president can't tell us a little bit more.
You know, it's hard to know just how well it will turn out.
Wait, guys, come on. I mean, I just answered like 8 questions.
Well, we have ways of making it talk.
You're certainly not hearing it in 2012, but there was a time when the war on drugs, the tough on crime, 3 strikes and you're out rhetoric was central to presidential campaigns.
America's public enemy number one in the United States is drug abuse.
There's nothing wrong with America today that a good election won't cure.
That's when I believe the tide of battle has turned and we're beginning to win the crusade for a drug-free America.
Crime, and particularly drug crime, used to dominate political campaigns. Candidates would try and compete to insist they were tougher on criminals. One of the first questions to presidential candidate Michael Dukakis way back in 1988 was about what he would do if his wife was raped and murdered. That will not be a question at tonight's debate, for sure. The war on drugs will probably not be mentioned at all. Filmmaker Eugene Jarecki says whatever the political focus, the costs of the war on drugs, though, continue to be paid by Americans. His newest documentary, opening on Friday, is called The House I Live In. And as part of our week-long series, Don't Mention It, on issues being ignored by the candidates, Jarecki tells us the candidates aren't talking about the war on drugs because for both parties, it's been a colossal failure.
Yeah, this thing has really sort of filtered into the background and gone underground, I suppose. And that's probably because who on earth wants to speak for the failed war on drugs? You know, we've spent $1 trillion in 40 years. We've had 45 million drug arrests. And what do we have to show for it? We're the world's largest jailer with 2.3 million people behind bars. And drugs are cheaper today, purer today, more available today, and used by younger and younger people than ever before. So who would possibly want to advocate for this thing on the campaign trail?
You begin this film with a rumination on America. Why do you think the war on drugs really takes into consideration the entire notion of American democracy?
Oh, I love the question. Look, I grew up like a lot of folks who come from far away and whose people came here as immigrants. I'm the son of Holocaust survivors. So all of the children in my family knew from the time we were born that we were children of flight and that societies can turn and they can turn on the voiceless, the defenseless. And so we were taught that our lives would only make sense if we were devoted to that struggle for human dignity, which is so American. And where did that concentrate itself most clearly? That was among African Americans in the 20th century struggle for African American dignity and rights. And so we were all very naturally drawn toward the black community as young people, as young Jews growing up in America, as many Jews will report from their own childhoods. I saw that the black folks I was close to were not having the lives that I expected. They weren't having the lives that fulfilled the promises, for example, of the civil rights movement. Suddenly in the post-civil rights era, there were obstacles to black progress. When I tried to figure out what exactly had gone wrong for so many black folks that I knew and that I cared about, the most evident culprit when I poked around this country, and I went to about 25 states to learn more about what was revealing itself here, and it turned out to be the war on drugs, which was declared in 1971 by Richard Nixon, and in effect was never a war on a substance. It was, of course, always a war on people, and in this case, the disproportionate recipients of the draconian sentencing laws and the draconian police practices and all the rest of the trappings of this system of predatory behavior against individuals, against people, against families, against communities. Those who have been most on the receiving end of that have been African American.
Who do we meet in this film who most remind you of the individuals who have been victims of a society that has turned on them?
Oh my gosh. I mean, in many ways, everyone. The drug dealer is a victim of having had no childhood, very often having had no mentoring, no parenting, already a fractured family life, a government that in many ways has forsaken the poor in this country.
Basically, it's just about survival. I feel like sometimes, like, cops, they view you as, oh, you live over here, but they don't view you as, like, damn, like, was it your choice?
And then we then turn to them and say, pick yourselves up by your bootstraps, you know, trust authority. And then we stop and frisk, you know, 350,000 young Black and Latino Americans every day on the streets of New York, denigrating them in front of their communities to pursue marijuana in their pocket. And so I look at victims not only in those who are ravaged by drugs themselves, because drugs victimize those who take them abusively. I also look at victimization on the other side, those who sort of enforce the laws. They're soul-searching among the guards in prisons. They're soul-searching among the judges who speak to me critically about the war on drugs from the bench. Cops sitting in the seat of their patrol car telling me about their lost belief in the system.
We like to look at the war on drugs as black hats and white hats and good guys and bad guys and victims and offenders. And on the ground, it's a lot more mixed up than that.
And what I found and what was so amazing, and it speaks to the human majesty that I think is at the root of real change, is that if this system is going to change, it's because people see, for example, in my film, that the insiders themselves know that it's broken and that they themselves cannot, they can't abide letting it continue in the form that it's been.
If the war on drugs were to vanish tomorrow, and if the law enforcement mechanisms and the criminal justice mechanisms that have wreaked their violence on so many that you describe here were to just be spirited away, you don't find in the drug-using culture a lot of dignity. You've alluded to this a moment ago, but it's not as though dignity remains where all of this war on drugs goes away.
Absolutely, and that's because drugs are fundamentally a public health concern. A wonderful scholar in the film, Gabor Mate, at one point says, when you think about addiction, you really have to recognize that addiction at the end of the day is something that someone does to self-medicate.
Addiction is an effect of human unhappiness and human suffering. When people are distressed, they want to soothe their distress. When people are in pain, they want to soothe their pain. So the real question is not why the addiction, but why the pain.
So what's the bit of rhetoric if one of the candidates were to pick up the old saw of the war on drugs and actually do something that, based on your film, would change this country? What would it be that you would need to hear?
I would need to hear, whether it's Obama, whether it's Romney, or even a member of Congress, I would need to have them step forward, recognize the tremendous human and economic and practical failure of the war on drugs, and reflect what, frankly, a majority of those involved in the war on drugs believe across the board, which is that tough on crime was a mistake. Tough on crime, which Nixon gave us and politicians have scrambled and stepped over each other to try to fulfill in the years since and appear to the public that way, is a grave failure to understand the nature of drug addiction, and it has put this country into, frankly, a death spiral away from our own democratic beliefs. And it should be replaced, perhaps, by an idea like smart on crime, which is far more treatment-based, far more compassion-based.
Eugene Jarecki, director of The Trials of Henry Kissinger, Why We Fight, Reagan, and many other award-winning documentaries. His newest film, which won the Grand Jury Prize at this year's Sundance Film Festival, is about the war on drugs. It's called The House I Live In. Eugene, thanks so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.